Well, good morning again. 1,500 miles to the Portland church, just if you want to make note of that. Anybody want to go? A joy to be there, but it's great to be back. I'd like to open by saying a big happy Father's Day to you men. Happy Father's Day. Or could we change it? A blessed Father's Day. 2 weeks ago, Brother Mac brought a message to fathers from Colossians 3:21. And he said, this is more of the negative teaching or command, to not to exasperate or cause our children to be discouraged. And that was the main thrust of Colossians 3:21. And I was in that very text probably within the last couple of years. I can't remember exactly, but Mac was not able to finish last Sunday because, as you remember, we had a special guest. I can't say his name since we're live streaming, but the dear brother that was with us last week and God's providence was sent here. So Brother Mac got held off on part two. So when I was on the way to the airport to fly to Portland, I said, you know, brother, I'm supposed to speak on Father's Day. I think I'm going to just keep going. And he said, all right, I'll let you. So I'm not going to use his text. I said, I'll leave you plenty of space. It's a big Bible. You got plenty to work from. And he said, all right, you can do this. So today, with Mac's approval and more importantly, trusting the Lord's providence, I'd like to speak to you fathers. Now, sisters and single men, the Word of God is profitable for all. This is not intended just to be for a small group. You young men that are in preparation for marriage, you young women and anticipate if God would have you to marry. All of this is intended to equip the saints, to build you up in Christ. Now, it has been a number of years since I've been able to speak on Father's Day. I look back through my years of notes, so it's a joy to get to do this today. Next month, July, will mark my 38th year in parenting. Krista and I were married 1 year and 2 days, and we had a little boy. And that was 38 years ago in July of 1981. So I have had at least one child in my home 38 of my 39 marriages. So my marriage, 39 years of my marriage, 38 years, one marriage, lots of kids. We'll get that straight. One marriage, one God, one Lord, one faith. But 38 years of parenting, perhaps that's why I get confused. It's a lot of years. And I'm still learning along the way. You guys that are your first couple of years, first 5 years, first 10 years, I feel your weight. I feel your hurts and your burdens. But fatherhood and what God has appointed is significant in the Christian life as a man. It's big, very big. It's important for all Christian men to consider the weight, the responsibility in being a father. It doesn't matter, as I've said, if you're in year 1 or year 10 or 30 or 50. It is important to be equipped in the truth in what it means to be a father. And there will be hard days, there'll be heavy days, but there'll be joyful days. There'll be days that are full of thanksgiving. Hopefully many, many, many more of those than heavy, hard days. But as a Christian father, you should remember the great picture that we are to look to, and that is the relationship of God, our Father, to us, and what you glean and take from Him relating to us and how we, as fathers, relate to our children. If you think of the phrases, the statements in the Bible about God relating to us, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear Him. So you and I, men, can be helped by thinking today this greater reality, a great God and Father over us and what we are to our children. But brothers, take heart, be encouraged, be helped today. Listen again to this great proverb, Proverbs 17:6 in the King James. It says, the glory of children are their fathers. If you go and look at it in a lot of other translations, this is the essence of what that is saying. The pride of children is their father. It's actually translated in some versions in the English language that way, or that children are to be proud of their father. So, brothers, this is big. This is very big. It's a powerful statement, and it's a bit overwhelming, is it not? Because you may be today the most discouraged father in the city of Denton. Now, you may feel that way. But let God's truth come like a rushing wind, as Keith Green used to sing. Let it come. Let it come with His Spirit. You fathers should be built up today. Be encouraged today. Brother Matthew Henry, the great writer, the great man of God, said, "It is an honor for children to have wise and godly fathers." It's an honor for children to have wise and godly fathers. Brothers, your children need you as a role model. As you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, so let your children follow you, if I can put it that way. Follow the Lord and live it in such a way that your children see that. So today I would like to speak on the topic of fathers being faithful to their calling. Fathers being faithful to their calling. I need it. You need it. Every Christian man in the earth needs it, that is a father. So what is a father's calling? What does the Bible say on this? Well, there's way more than I'll cover today, right? There's plenty. It's vast. But let's look at this together. I'd like us to see four main themes in our fathering. You sisters, listen. You young people, listen. You boys that are listening today, listen to me today. Think about what I'm speaking about in being a father. You boys may grow up and be able to be fathers. God may give you children. So you want to listen. You want to take heed to what I'm saying. And then I'd like to close with some personal exhortations from my own heart to you men. First of four, the Bible says that fathers are to instruct their children. Or you could say, fathers are to teach their children. This means a father is constantly teaching and instructing the lives of their sons and their daughters. It is an ongoing reality in the home, whether it be in a formal sense or an informal sense. Fathers are to instruct their children. Brothers, the duty of shaping your children's worldview and their principle of right and wrong rests with you and your wife. It is our responsibility to teach our children what this world is, who made it, who rules over it, and what is right and wrong. It's our responsibility. It's our place. It's our calling. It is not the responsibility of the schools or some other agency. We are not outsourcing this. These are our children for the glory of God, and we train them and we teach them in His way. So teaching our children, they're a gift of God to you and to your wife, and therefore you are a steward. You are a steward of their upbringing, of their training. Over and over, God's Word speaks to this, right? Jeff even touched on this just a little bit in what he was speaking on in the fear of the Lord. But in the Bible, God's Word commands fathers to give instruction to their children. We're talking about instruction in life, in what is sin, what is the one true way to God, eternal life. What is this thing of the kingdom of God? Who is Christ Jesus? It is our responsibility. You'll teach them other things. You'll instruct them in other things in day-to-day living. But you're always driving or planting and sowing seed in the bigger realities of what it is to live and to live unto God. So instruction, giving instruction to our sons and our daughters, teaching them and warning them. Teaching does have that sign of warning, that side of it. It's both positive and it can be negative in how we teach and instruct our children. So brothers, you are to instruct your children in positive things. You are to warn your sons and daughters in the negative things, the danger of sin, evil influences, and the wickedness of this world. Listen now, let me go to the text. Numerous Proverbs. I'm just going to quote these today. Just hear me. Hear God's Word. Instructing your children. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. There it is. Fathers, you have to be about instructing them. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Same kind of force to the word, right? Teach commands. Give commands what God has commanded. Put these forth as a father, son, and put them to your sons and daughters. that they would hear, that God would be real. God's word would be the most powerful thing that they would hear. He is the authority. Keep your father's commandment. Proverbs 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. There it is, brothers. My son, keep my words. He says, actually, lay them up. Lay them up. Store them up. My dad's 83 and a half. While we were singing, I sent my dad a note because I know when he wakes up and what is that. I sent him a note from me. And I still hear things that he says to me, and it has incredible depth and wisdom and help to me. So, brothers, give your sons and daughter words, commands, instruction. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. You remember the rest of it. Train up a child. Speak to him. Speak to them. Love them. Love them with a heart that wants to teach them. Instruct them. Listen to this, Proverbs 4. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. See, sons and daughters, you young people, it's commanding you to listen to your father, to listen to your mother. But it says, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that ye may gain insight. A father has so much to give to his children. Because we're talking about a Christian father who knows the one great God and Savior. And he has instruction to give. So brothers, by the grace of God, keep in mind you know the things that will destroy your children. We could be real candid here. You know the danger zones. You know what to instruct them in. You know what to warn them about. You need to tell them what to run after and what to stay away from. It's never ending in parenting. It's one thing as a 5-year-old. It's very different as a 15-year-old. And then even as our children grow up and they go out, we're still fathers to them. You speak a word to them. You give advice. You're a sounding board. Oh, brothers, it goes on and on and on. It's a privilege. Speak to them. Sometimes you'll have to speak to them out of your own failures to warn them, don't go this way. So brothers, speak to your children. Teach them. Instruct them in God's commands. What does God say? What is God's view of this whole subject? Teach them of the ways of God. Let God be the one who establishes everything on any topic. And you may say, well, Philip, that's going to be hard to do. We're going to try to update a computer. How does God's word have to, what does it have to do with that? Think in a biblical way. Think about the way God instructs us. Think about what the ways of life versus the ways of death. And it could even affect how you view purchasing a computer or some other contemporary thing that you may face. And that is that you're God-centered, that you're centered on Him. Tell them, God intends for us as fathers, and yes, you as sisters, you mothers, to be the greatest voice in shaping their lives. We have to speak to them. We have to instruct them. We have to warn them. We have to be that transparent with our sons and daughters. God has said to instruct them. The children are commanded to listen to us. So do it. It's not just this one time and during the day or Sundays, or it's every day. It's all that we're about. It's how you live. It's how you talk. It's how you speak into their life. Sometimes it's just an event that happens, and right then, it's an opportunity to speak. Ian will not remember this, but his parents, Charles and Mona, were here with his two younger brothers probably 15, 17 years ago in the early days of the Denton Church. And his brother David and his youngest brother Nathan were here. And so we were interacting, and it was enjoyable. They were out at our place, and something had happened while we were gone. Charles and I were with Mac, and we had a time away. We came back, and one of our golden retrievers had busted out of this area in our house, and the golden retriever had gotten out, really a magnificent male dog, and got hit on our road and was killed. This all happened that morning while we were away. Well, what transpired after that was kind of amazing. Charles and I showed up. This had happened. And Charles called the boys. I don't know, Ian, what would they have been? Maybe young teenagers? That's 2003 range. But he called them over, and I just stayed right there with them. And Charles looked at the boys, and he said, boys, let this be a lesson to you. God sets boundaries in how we're to live. God puts boundaries for our good, for our protection. Just like this place that dog was to stay in was its boundary to protect it. And if you force the issue and try to get out and push against it, dig under it, break through it, and you go out, you better be careful. It costs this dog its life. And here's a man speaking to his two sons. Sons, take heed. Don't bust through the barriers that God gives you. Learn from this. You can imagine what I felt at that time. What a practical, real way to teach two sons the dangers of going your own way or trying to push against the instruction of a father, the words and commands of a mother. So first, the Bible says that we as fathers are to instruct or to teach our children. Second, the Bible says that fathers are to remind their children of God's glory and works. You might be good at American history. That's great. I'm happy for you. You might be good at British literature. That's great. You can advance yourself in that. You might be good at war history. World War I, World War II, lots of other history. Lots of other events in the history of humanity. But what you need to be really good at as fathers is reminding your sons and daughters of the great works of God through all the ages. He's the main thing. He's the great one. He's the eternal one. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we ought to speak in a way that it's undeniable. Whatever century we're in, wherever you're talking about, God reigns. That's what God intends. It's not just that we go back to the Old Testament early books and the children of Israel and how God led them out. It's everything since then. You can talk to him about Jeremiah or Daniel or Joel. You can talk to him about Esther or one of the other godly women. But the point is, fathers and yes, mothers, remind your children of the greatness of God. Let this be foundational to their worldview. You tell your children the works of God over history and in your life. In your life. I find it interesting now in these years when I interact with my older kids at times, they find out things that their dad went through or maybe their mom went through. They hear things they didn't remember. But it can help them. I hear things in my own dad's life that it still, to this day, I feel like I've heard it for the first time. But we ought to speak in such a way that God is the main one leading and ruling in our life. He's the main one over the governments. He's the main one over the kingdoms. He's the main one over the nations. You hear what I'm saying? God commands us to set His works before them. This will establish a God-centered worldview of everything they come across. You have to put it through a God-centered world grid. This is no guarantee that the Holy Spirit will awaken them at 7 or 11 or 14 or 22. I'm not promising when the Holy Spirit will work, but I am saying what God has commanded us to do. We don't know. We ask God to bring them into Himself. We love these children. We teach them in His ways, but we are to speak to them on the things of God. It should absolutely rule our referencing and our language and our thoughts, as John Piper said years ago in a wonderful way. And then God did this, and then this happened, and then God did this, and then George Washington was president, and God ruled over that, and then the second president, and God did this, and one day God had a man named Abraham Lincoln, and wow. Yeah, that's how to view it. The kingdoms are His, the nations are His. Everything in nature and biology and botany and everything else is His. We ought to speak that way. You can't study botany without starting with God. So it's magnificent, the realities, because then children are growing up with a constant awareness, in a sense, a weight, a reality that God is real, that He reigns. Public schools and public universities are not doing this. We know that. It's been true long before any of us were born. It's been happening a long time. We have to be about teaching our children the ways of God. And it will equip them in this generation and in their day that they live in. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. God's command to the children of Israel. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. See the warning? Don't forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. There it is. There's the command. Take heed. Remember. Store these up. Talk about them. Teach your sons. Teach your grandchildren. Teach them to the next generation. Teach them of the ways of God, the one great God of glory. Teach them of His ways. Oh, yes, that they would know, that they would hear, that our sons and daughters would hear about the greatness of God, that He has ruled, that He is ruling. It gets very personal, doesn't it? They'll hear you speak in such a way that it begins to make them think about your life and how you live, what your background has been. Deuteronomy 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And here he goes. God says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and you shall talk of them when you sittest in thine house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." You see that, brothers? Teaching. He says, diligently, talk of them when you sit in your house, driving in the car, spending time together. We're speaking on God, what God did here, what God did then. I've told y'all when I was in my early years of college training, and there was a couple of semesters on architectural history. The guy that gave this presentations, he was just fantastic. Big, kind of an auditorium with, you know, a big screen, and he had those 35 millimeter slides, carousel after carousel after carousel. Those things. He traveled everywhere, going through this stuff. Overwhelming. Zero mention on the glory of God and the majesty of Jesus Christ in all of those hundreds of slides. That's cheating people. God's the main one to talk about. You're going to talk about the Renaissance, or you're going to talk about the Babylonian time period, you're going to talk about the Egyptians, you're going to talk about wherever. Men are grappling with what is the truth. Why am I here? Why do I build cathedrals? Why do I build cities? The point is, our children should not have slideshows without God. They should have slideshows of your life, your living, your struggles, the victories of God in your life that come out in day-to-day living, that we remind them of our children, reminding our children, our grandchildren, of the works of God when we sit down and when we rise up and we walk with them. So talk to your children, brothers, in everyday conversation. Tell them about the kindnesses and the mercies of God. It'll set before our children a living, sovereign, gracious, caring, loving God and Savior. That's what they need to hear, that He is truly sovereign and reigneth. Number three, the Bible says that fathers are to discipline their children. Fathers are to discipline their children. We're to teach them. We're to instruct them in right and wrong. We are to remind them constantly, constantly speaking to them of the realities of our great God and His sovereign rule and the greatness of Jesus Christ, and we are to discipline or correct our children. And there's going to be all kinds of variables of opinions through not just this decade, but 50 years ago or 250 years ago. But the Bible is the standard, right? It speaks to us. It's God's Word that tells us we're to correct our children. Father's discipline is an expression of love, right? We're not talking about cruel fathers here. We're not talking about men who bully or hurt or are so vicious to children. That's out. That's not even where I'm going. That's not what God is saying. We're not talking about brutality. We're talking about fathers who are men who hold the line, who correct their children. They discipline their children. It is an expression of love. It's a sign of sonship. I know my dad loves me. My brother says, "Oh yeah, I know he loves me." One of the reasons is he corrected us. Not just anything went with our dad. If you don't know more about my dad, you could find somebody else in my family to chuckle over that one. Not just anything went with him. I grew up in this community, and he pulled us aside as young teenagers. "Hey, boys, I pretty much know everybody in this town, more or less. You're going to figure it out. You decide you're going to do bad things, God's going to let me know." It's basically what he said. Well, my brother must not have believed him as much. Yeah. Yeah, so everything my brother got to do went public. Forget Facebook and all that stuff wasn't even around. But my dad held the line. He said, "You will pay the price. I will love you. I will correct you." I learned. I made my own mistakes. He corrected me. I was learning about a great and perfect God who corrects those He loves. It set a principle in my heart and mind. It was phenomenal. Disciplining a child is not about bullying. It's about holding the line on what's right and wrong. You've got to We're in a generation now, nobody wants to be corrected for anything. And yet, children need to be corrected. Otherwise, they're all being treated as orphans. I tell you what, we'll just have generation after generation. Nobody loves you. Nobody will correct you. Come on. Fathers who don't care never correct or discipline a son. That's what God says. That's what God's word. I'll read it to you here in a second. Hebrews 12, verse 7. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? The writer of Hebrews is laying a case before him of how God disciplines his children, us, his children. He disciplines us. And so the writer of Hebrews is using the logic of saying, what father doesn't discipline his children? It's just a mark of having sons and daughters. They have to be corrected. They have to be corrected. It starts when they're little bitty. Brother David. David's walking the halls, isn't he? Sarah, if you don't mind, it was so funny 2 years ago when your dad looked at me and said, the first word that Sarah ever said was, no. Is that right, Mom? Where's Mom? And we laughed. We've said it too, dear sister. We said it too to our parents. There's a lot of no in a child, right? Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thy image in its place. We have to be born again. We have to be made new. Every child comes from the womb speaking lies. They're precious. They're dear. They're God's creation. But they need a new heart. So we have to be correcting them, training them, speaking about God and correcting them. Because it's a sign that we love them. What father would not discipline? That's what the Hebrew writer says. If God disciplines us, is that not the perfect expression or reality of what we should be doing? Yes. Tom Sadowski is away, but he knows this. One of the most common things you will hear inmates, prison inmates, guys that have been there a long time, not somebody that's been in 2 months. One of the most common things you'll hear inmates say when you're with them is, I wish my father had stopped me more, or I wish I had listened to his correction. That's amazing. I'm talking about, it doesn't know any ethnicity, it doesn't know any barrier, any age. Men, I've heard it. I heard it in those years where I would go with Tom and Baker and other men, Rudy Ray, when he was in the prison. I've heard men with tears say, I wish I had listened to correction, or I wish my dad had warned me. What are they saying? They're saying what the Bible says. They're just confirming what God has said. Fathers, teach your children. Speak the truth to them. Put the fear of God in their eyes, as Jeff was talking. Let them know, if I do this, God sees all. Just think of the untold millions of dollars in the criminal justice system that would be saved if fathers would discipline their children. That's not a stretch. If Brother Eric Byrd was here with us, he'd say that's true. It's true. The Department of Criminal Justice would agree with that. If young men and young women would listen and heed to what their parents say and be corrected, so much untold crimes and harm could be averted by the grace of God. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. You see the language? You spare it, you hold correction back, you don't let a child understand what's wrong. It doesn't show true love, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Moms, dads, you have to correct when they're little. You have to lay the principle. No, we're not going to do that. That's out of limits. We're correcting. We're stopping. While there is hope. What a statement that is, isn't it? You correct them. Men, you correct your children in their childhood while they're young. It's a wicked world we live in, brothers. Y'all know this. We have to correct them. We have to do our part in faith, hoping in God to do the great work in them. But if we neglect our part, we don't honor God. And therefore, we don't trust Him. By faith, we correct children. Ultimately, by faith. We're correcting them. We're believing the great one who corrects us and brings us to himself out of death into life will do the greater work in them. But they have to see it. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Meaning, if you correct a child, if you correct a child in a proper way, it will only help him. It will not defeat him. Yeah, there are men that beat their sons. I understand that. I grew up with guys who, a couple of them had fathers that would beat them, treat them that way. We're talking about men who in love and in firmness and in a right form of godly manhood, discipline a child because it says, I love you. I love you. Have you ever heard men talk about their dad and how he disciplined them? I mean, we've never taken time in a men's study to say, we're going to spend the next 30 minutes. How did that help you? Or what? How did it, the lack thereof, not help you? You can hear this. You can hear this from young men, or grown men, I'm saying, when they look back. They realize they were on a path of destruction. One time when Dad and I and my brother Pat, we were on one of our trips that we used to take annually. And we were visiting, and somehow we got into the bad things my brother used to do. And my dad sometimes will say, you know, I hadn't heard some of these. I really don't want to hear these now. And Pat would say, you know, Dad, thank you, thank you, thank you for correcting me, disciplining me, stopping me, stepping in the middle of what I was doing, trying to prevent me from ruining myself or killing myself. And he would say it with tears. He would say it to this day with tears. A father that corrects his children and is not holding back the proper discipline is one who loves his sons and daughters. Think about that, children. It is significant. So third, the Bible says over and over, we are to discipline our children. And fourthly, the Bible says that fathers are to nurture their children in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not optional. We give them one way, one king, one Savior, one kingdom, one way to live this life, that's it. You choose anything else and you perish. We teach our children in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, and I think this may be the text that Mac's going to come back to. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we've talked about teaching, and we've talked about reminding our children, and we've talked about disciplining our children. But this is this nurturing, caring for them, bringing them along, speaking to them about a glorious Savior, Christ Jesus. Speaking to them of His kingdom, what He taught His men, what He warned, what He spoke to the Pharisees, what He did with children when He was with them. Speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nurture them. It's like, you see, that's like feeding them. That's like making them stronger, admonishing them, speaking in clarity to them about Christ. That this means, brothers, that you're to set before them that Christ is the preeminent one. He is the preeminent one. That He's the one for them to flee to run to, and love and obey. That is in our court. It's in our responsibility to speak that and live that before our children. That they are to know and to love Jesus Christ. When you go back and read about Hudson Taylor as a boy, that's what his dad did. His dad did. Forget about all the mission work in China. His dad set before him the glory of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit made it real to him. And then he goes and he gives his life in China in a phenomenal way. But you take it back. What if his dad and his mom had failed in their part? Set before our children Christ. Ultimately, everything else children spend their life on is superficial if they're going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Fine. Go off to Duke University and do medical research the rest of your life and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's vanity, vanity, all vanity, and you will perish in your sins. We shouldn't hold back that truth from our children. Not in a harsh way, but in a real way. For he that would save his life will lose it. That's what Jesus said. But whoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall find it. Yeah, they can be at Duke University and do medical research. But they ought to do it and only should do it to the glory of Jesus Christ. That should be the ethic. That should be the reality set before them. They're going to play sports or whatever they feel like. Their hearts, you have to guide that. You want to direct them. But ultimately, it's Christ. How is their life being lived for Him? Back to this truth from number one. That means that we're giving our children a Christ-centered worldview. What does He say? What did He command? How did He treat others? How did he view world peace? Boy, you can really stir up a contemporary audience today. How did he view world peace? He came to save sinners. That's where you got to start. We're not going to talk about political differences. We're not talking about who owns what land. We're talking about sinners. Jesus Christ was the great peacemaker for us, triumphing over sin, our sin, taking it upon himself. So we train our children, we raise them with Christ as the center. God, Christ, the reality of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. Our children should be sound. They should be grounded on who Christ was, who he is, he ever lives, right? He lives. His redemption. They should understand what redemption was, is, and what he taught about being followers in his kingdom. They should know, moms and dads, that what Jesus Christ says is the authority on the subject, on any subject. And that's going to take care of pretty much everything you face as a parent. When it comes down, children, young people, listen to me, as parents, as Christian parents, we're trying to discern in your raising and your training what would be most God-honoring and help you go forth in the right way. That's what a parent ultimately is trying to do. What does Christ say on it, and therefore how it affects their life? Yes, saints, it's really good for us to quote the Lord Jesus in day-to-day parenting. It's significant for you and I to speak what he spoke, to think of his teachings, to think of the Sermon on the Mount, or think of him with his disciples. Think of him when he was correcting the Pharisees. Think of the Lord Jesus. Let our children, let them hear it. Let it live before them. Christ, that he is a glorious Savior. He is the most dear of all. That our children would be growing up with that reality. I tried briefly late last night to look up about Jim Elliot when he was in those college years. So that would be in the late 40s, early 50s. And he would have these breaks when he was not in college, and he would go back home, back to the western, northwest area, Portland and that whole area. And so he would be around, he would have more downtime. Here's this man of men, such a strong man, young man, with such a heart to take the gospel across the world. And so now he was having days that were not as full, but he was around his parents again. And there's some writing in that book, Shadow of the Almighty. There's just some sections there where he begins to reflect on the God of his father. It's beautiful. It's really, really wonderful. And he began to see his dad in light of his dad's total walk with God. Here's Jim Elliot. Usually you don't do a whole lot by the time you're 21. Nobody get their feelings hurt. Usually not very many people do a whole lot by the time they're 21. And Jim Elliot at that point had not done much of anything. Not really. But then he began to behold his dad, and it moved him. His dad was just a humble, godly man. But it was preaching or teaching Jim right then and there how to live his life. And you could read through those pages, and you might miss them. But those are significant moments that Jim was sharing with us, ultimately sharing with the world from his writings, that his dad's influence of his Savior, Christ, was real. And it made Jim admiring. Those are four areas, beloved. Key areas, themes. Hopefully these just, brothers, will equip you in these areas again. Remind you, take you back to the grounding of these areas. That you're to instruct or teach your children. That you're to remind your children of the great works of God, past and present. That you're to discipline and correct and guard your children and hold the line. And you're to nurture your children in the ways of Jesus Christ. Let God's Word speak. Let me close with four other things that come from me to you as a father. These are really just outflows of these. I called these years ago when I shared them with the men, Phillips 4. In almost 38 years of parenting, these are the things that I would speak to you, or I speak to my sons-in-law, or I speak to others. My grandson, these are the things I would impress upon them as a father. Number one, love your wife before your children. Love your wife before your children, fathers. It is phenomenal what stability this gives to little boys and girls and teenagers and grown children. A husband that loves their mother. I mean, we're getting pretty basic here, guys. I'm pouring the foundation, loving Jesus Christ and loving your bride. And therefore, brothers, I can't even express the layers of that, what that'll do to influence them, stability-wise, worldview-wise, what is true love, what is devotion. Enjoy your wife, court her, cherish her, live it before your children. Christ does that with us. He's an active, loving Savior, is He not? He sheds abroad His love. He's with us. Therefore, we, by the grace of God, husbands and wives, you hear my heart on this. Let your marriage be a testimony. Make your children anticipate marriage. No wonder children are disillusioned, young people, when they look at society. They look at Hollywood stars, and they look at pop stars, and they look at movies of our day, and everything else that's out there. No wonder they say, marriage? Throwing that out. Let them learn of Jesus Christ. Let them see godly men who love their wives. That may cause them to stop and say, hang on here. Hang on here. This thing of marriage is bigger than I thought it was. It's a God-given thing, and therefore children come from marriage. It comes from covenant love, and that covenant love should stay alive. It should stay dynamic. It should stay living. As C.S. Lewis said, the tragedy is not death in love, meaning that one of the spouses dies. The tragedy is death of love. That's the tragedy. So for the glory of God and for His honor and for the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers, love your wives before your children. Number two, be a disciplined man before your children. We're all different in our personality types. We're not trying to form everybody into one personality type. We're all different. But the theme of being a disciplined man before your children is very, very significant. Be disciplined in your following of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would translate to your words, your eyes, your worldly activities, your money, on and on and on. Live with in a disciplined way. I'm not talking about we're law bound. We just have to follow this rule book. We're talking about living unto God, fullness of living with Him, walking in holiness, turning away from evil and turning to that which is good, loving that which is pure and turning away from that which is not pure. Be disciplined and do it with joy in it. That there's principle about how you live and how you walk. Brothers, live in such a way and you're possessing yourself that you really blow away this lazy, indulgent, fleshly image of men that's all over, everywhere. Just walk with God in that reality of these areas. Be disciplined in the way that will help your son or help a daughter understand what to stay away from. They'll ask, Dad, why don't we do so-and-so? Dad, why don't you ever... We have to speak of our own surrender or yieldedness to the Lord Jesus of why we don't do certain things. There are certain places you don't go. There are certain things you don't do. And your children should know it. I laughingly tell the story of being in the car. Our children should know us. They should know why these things are true. And Charity and Bethany were little, and we were in the car, and y'all have heard me tell that story. We decided we were going to play the game. What's your favorite? And we're driving together, and they're like 10 and 12 and a half, or 13, or whatever. They're 9 and 12, probably. And we're playing, and we get 5 questions into this, and they're nailing Dad. I'm having to think on them. I don't know. Somebody think. What's your favorite? It's all right, Dad, what's your favorite? We name a category, and they both look at each other. Oh, well, Dad's favorite is so-and-so. How'd y'all know that? After 5 questions, and they nail me 5 straight times, and I'm struggling, they look at me and say, Dad, we just know you. I'll never forget driving in that car where I was, and they said that to me. Dad, we just know you. Well, there's an aspect, brothers, that should be true. They just know that you should be able to ask your children when they get a little bit older. You think your dad will do this, this, and this? They should be able to go, oh, no. That, yeah, Dad do that. What about that? I don't think so. This, no way. My dad never do that. You get the point? Be disciplined in the right way. We walk before our great Savior, yielded to Him. We're not talking about law. We're not talking about death. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about living the Christian life with joy in a disciplined way. Number three, display biblical manhood before your children. Can I say this? Be masculine. Wow. Sorry, American culture. Be masculine. Be men. Let it rip. That's the truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, act like men. King James says, quit you like men. It means conduct yourself like a man. You know, you can't help but enjoy Paul Washer on this. All of a sudden, he'll just go off on his hunting stories or whatever. And he's like going, Paul, you okay? He loves getting out with that bow and going hunting and stuff because it's just how God makes the man. We're not talking about rah-rah, hurt people, dominate, step on people. We're talking about masculinity, biblical masculinity. Brother Bob Jay, in one of those last conferences he could come to, was talking about this. A man's man. I'm talking about godly men. Be masculine. Display biblical manhood before your children. Shape your son's view of manhood. Shape your son's view, and it'll affect your daughters. Your view of manhood, leaders, providers, one who are watching after, caring for, giving your life for your wife and children, guarding them. Shape your son's and daughter's view of manhood. Help them. Help them to see this. Your daughters will see it. It'll help them. It'll help them in that they'll have a proper view of how men are and how to view a potential husband one day and the distinctions. It's a unique thing, and I say it out of sincerity. Display biblical manhood before your children. May God use it. And lastly, my fourth one to you, walk with God before your children. Live and die for the glory of God. I mean, if I got one thing to say to my children and my grandchildren and my dear son-in-laws and those that I love, I'm going to say to them, walk with God. What else are you going to spend your days on? What else are you going to dream about? Every dream of yours, everything you ever want to be, should be yielded to the glory of God. That's why we're here. All things are for His glory. And therefore, we should live that way with zeal, but we should live that way. Walk with God before your children. Let them see it. I mean, it drives me crazy when somebody says, oh, that's a private thing. Hey, Joel, do you want to walk with God? The others see it? That's a private thing. No. It's public. It's public. I'm not talking about being arrogant and being broadcasting things in some sort of a proud way. We're just talking about you live the Christian life before this generation. You live it before your children. Therefore, communion with Him. Recently, Jesse had come over. He's helping me do yard work. And we typically pray before we get out there and start handling all that equipment. And he had started, and I was over, and all of a sudden it struck me. We didn't commit ourselves to the Lord on this. So I turned off whatever I was running. I went over to him. He looked at me. Yeah, Dad, you okay? Son, we ought to pray. He said, that's right. So here I am with this big King Kong kid. We're out there in the yard praying, asking God, protect us, keep us. It's real. We're going to walk with Him. He is the great one who's with us. Speak biblical. Pray with them. Let them see you glorify God in daily events. That you speak that way. God did this. God did this. God kept me. Love Jesus Christ before your children. Love Him. Praise Him. Sing His songs. Talk about Him. Think of Him. Leave a testimony long after you're gone. Oh, sometimes, brothers, you know, I'm speaking to you fathers, but really I'm speaking to all of us. But sometimes I go, you know, I file my notes and I'm going through things. Every now and then I might mention it to Lee or somebody when I'm gone, all these notes. But I hope my sons, my grandsons, my son-in-laws, that they will take, there'll be something here that will be passed on, that it'll be real, it'll be helpful, that this thing of walking with God, as I think about my granddad and how he lived, even in the few years that I really got to behold him, it'd be a living testimony. Men, be faithful. Be faithful. Look to the Lord. Today is a new day. Today rejoice that you're even privileged to be a father. And look to Him. Yield yourself to Him. Love Him. Do these things. Walk with God. Let your children see it. Let them be in on it. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you. that you're our Father, that you father us, that you are the great Father, perfect, that you care for us, you teach us, you correct us, you guard us. Lord, you shed your love upon us and in us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can be fathers, that even though there's days that we feel so much a failure, Lord, we feel so just overwhelmed, you're with us. Help us to arise. As we sang a while ago, rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Grant us strength by your Holy Spirit. Let us love the Lord Jesus Christ in this day to our families, to those that were around. Let us be men of discipline. Let us be men who truly do teach our children, remind them, correct them, and nurture them. Lord, let our seemingly futile efforts be blessed of God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We need you. In Christ we pray. Amen.